Thanks be to God. Mason, thank you so much.
Fantastic. Just bear with me 2 seconds while I just rearrange the stage here. There we go.
Fantastic. Mason, thank you so much. Now, if you've got that passage with you, do keep it open.
I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about the difference between faith and faith. The difference between faith and faith. And before you think that the vicar has gone mad, I want to say that the Bible, when it speaks about faith, it speaks about two very different things at different times. See, one way in which the Bible speaks about faith is about something that you simply believe to be true up here. I believe Lionel Messi is the greatest footballer of all time. Put your hands up if you believe that.
Yeah.
Maria, of course, believes that. Put your hand up if you believe that. Put your hand if you don't believe that. Put your hand if you disagree with that statement. Chris is very strongly with that. Chris probably thinks Brian Gibbs is the greatest footballer in the history of the world. Put your hands up if you don't care. There we go, there are lots of those, aren't there? Well, at least everybody at least has an opinion one way or another. But the reality is that I can believe that Lionel Messi is the best footballer in the world, but that belief in my head here, it's very unlikely to really make much of a difference in the way that I live. See, belief or faith in something, it can be nothing more than just purely, you know, mental assent to something. Just ticking the box, saying, yes, I believe that. That is one kind of faith. But there is a second kind of faith that is very different. The second kind of faith is to put your trust and confidence in someone or something. Take this chair, for example. Now, who here believes that if you were to try and sit on this chair, it would support your weight? Who believes that? Can you believe that?
Yeah?
Now, how do you show us? How do you demonstrate to us that you really believe that? What's the one way to do that?
To sit on it.
To sit on it. Is anyone able to sit on it and demonstrate to us that you really believe? You know, there were a lot of hands up there when you said that it would support your weight. Show us then, show us. Who wants to go and sit down? Yes, Lily, come and grab a seat then. Are you ready? This is a big moment here, isn't it? Is this chair trustworthy? Is this chair worthy of putting your faith in? Let's see. Ah, she's got it. And it has not bent down, has it? Fantastic. Now, okay, well, let's give you a round of applause now. Fantastic. Thank you, Billy. Now, the thing about this chair is that if I said to you that I trust, I have faith that this chair will support my weight, but when the time came and I got tired, I refused to sit down on the chair, I show by my lack of action, don't I, that I don't really trust. It is a completely pointless faith. Because real faith, true faith, living faith always leads to action. It really does. And what James is saying is exactly this. That true faith in Jesus, it always leads to action. My friends, when Jesus invites us, and he does, each and every one of us, to believe in him, he is not just inviting us to believe in our heads that he died for our sins, that he rose again, that we can have a relationship with God through him. He's not inviting us just to affirm those things up here in our minds. He is inviting us to live our lives as though he is the risen Lord. Do you see the difference? We can believe up here all these different wonderful things about Jesus, but unless we live our lives like it, then it is completely and utterly pointless. Jesus, he wants us to know that he is trustworthy. He wants us to put our confidence in him, right? He wants us to follow his commands, to love his people, to live our lives as though the things that we say we believe are true. It's a little bit like, and Mason read this, it's a little bit like Abraham all those years ago. See, Abraham, he was promised by God that his family would inherit a very special land. And he was promised that through his family, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But what would happen if Abraham had just said, yeah, God, I believe that. I trust in you. But he hadn't gone on that journey to that land. None of those promises would have been fulfilled, would they? Abraham's faith, it required Abraham's action. It was pointless without him making the journey. And in the same way for us, if we say we trust in Jesus, it is pointless unless our faith is going on a journey with him.
So we're going to learn a quick memory verse, which is all about this. Stuart, I'm going to borrow it to hear your sound, hear your music stand. And here it is. And as ever, there are sweets in it for you if you can get the memory verse correct. Can you see that? Can you see that there? Now, why don't we say this memory verse together, and then we'll unpack it a little bit, and then we'll see who can remember it when we start taking words off. Are you ready? Right, so say it with me. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James 2, verse 18.
What James is saying here is that look, you can try to show me a faith without works, without doing things. It doesn't work. You can't show that you have faith in Jesus unless your life is showing it. I will show you my faith by my deeds, by the way that I live my life.
So let's say it one more time. Are you ready? And then we'll start taking words off and we'll see how we go. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James chapter 12, 2, verse 18. Right. So, we are going to remove a couple of words here, and we'll see if anybody is brave enough to give it a go. Right, so we'll remove that, and we will remove that. Let's see how we go. Right. Anybody think that they'd be up to giving this a go? Gosh, it's very congested up here. Who wants to give it a go for a grand prize of a sweet? Lily, right, are you ready?
Show me your face without
deeds,
and I'll show you my
faith
by my deeds, James
2:13. Fantastic, right, let's give it a round.
Anyone else going to get that one again? Mason, are you ready? We'll bring out the big guns. Bring out the big guns to start off with.
Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James chapter 2.
Was there ever any doubt? And even with it falling over. Fantastic, thank you. Starting out, we're going to remove a couple of words, and we're going to see where we're at. Right, so we're going to remove the key word here. There. And last but not least, there. Oh, it really is starting to get more difficult now. Who wants to have a go here? Who wants to have a go here? Take a shine. Right, Teddy. Oh, my goodness. Don't let me down. The family name is hanging on it. There you go. Family pride.
Show me your faith without deep. Without deeds, and I will show you faith by my deeds. James 2, verse 18.
Oh, right, last one. Who wants to give it a go? Are you on this side? Any grown-ups? I've got a church where only the children can memorize the Bible. We need a grown-up as well. Anyone want to want it? Right, well, let's try it again. Go on. You ready? Gosh, it really is quite hard.
Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you faith by my deeds. James 2:18.
Fantastic. Why don't we all say that together? Are you ready? Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James chapter 2, verse 18. Fantastic. We're almost there. And the thing is, so as we go on with this passage, we read verse 24. Let me read it for you. James says this. You see,
that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. Now, that can be quite a tricky verse, actually, because when you read the Bible, particularly you read the New Testament, what we see in there is that we are not made right with God. We are not saved by the things that we do. That is the really clear teaching of the Bible. We are saved by Jesus, who died for us, who rose again, who lives for us now. He is the one who saves us. And in James says what he says in verse 24. Is James here contradicting what the rest of the Bible teaches? Not at all. Because what James is talking about here, he is talking about the kind of faith that is all up here, that is only talk. James is saying the faith that saves is a living faith, a faith that leads to action, a faith that entrusts everything to Jesus and lives for him. So that's really the challenge for us this morning, isn't it? Most of us here this morning, we gathered to church to worship Jesus, most of us claim to believe in Jesus, don't we? We claim to believe that Jesus died and rose again for us. Is that a belief that just stays up here, my brothers and sisters? Or is that a faith and a belief that impacts the way that we live? Because if Jesus is risen and he is Lord of all, and if Jesus really is returning again in glory, then that should change, shouldn't it? The things that I think about, it should affect the things that I love, it should affect the way that I treat other people, it should influence the way that I spend my time and my money, it should change my goals in life, shouldn't it? And so let's never be happy this morning. This is what James is saying to us. Let's never be happy with a dead faith which is stuck up here. But let's be those whose faith is alive, whose faith is lived out in the day today. So why don't you spend a moment or two just praying and inviting you to close your eyes. And we're going to just very quickly confess to God those areas in our lives where there are truths that we believe, but they just stay up here. And they're truths about Jesus and what he's done, and we've not allowed them to make their way down here into our hearts so that they're lived out in the way that we do our lives. Let's pray. Lord, there are so many things that we know to be true about you. And we say we believe them. And yet, Lord, we confess that there are many things that we believe that we don't yet live out. We're sorry, Lord. We pray that you help us to have a faith that is alive, that acts, that moves, that lives according to what Jesus says. And we thank you so much, Lord, for this invitation to think about this morning. This invitation to a faith that is alive. And we pray all of that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite someone now who's going to continue to lead us in a time of prayer together.